A blue bar crosses a black background and condenses into a circle. Touchstone Pictures. A golden light slides along the letters and flashes into a lightning bolt through the circle. A Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer production. A Ted Demme film. Dennis Leary. Judy Davis. Kevin Spacey. Tiny letters grow larger in the middle of the screen. The Ref. Below the letters, a large pine wreath is decorated with Christmas lights and a big red bow. The wreath is at the center of a sprawling pine archway. Beyond the archway lies a picturesque, snow-dusted town that glows in the night. The quaint main street is lined with little shops and trees adorned with lights. A clock tower sits at the end of the block. People stroll on the sidewalk, and cars inch through the wet streets. Robert Steinmiller, Jr. Glynis Johns. Raymond J. Barry. Adults and children stand in front of a nativity scene. A police officer walks past. Richard Bright, Christine Baranski, Bill Raymond, Ellie Robb, Adam Lefevre, Philip Nickel. The officer walks past a man conducting a children's choir.
That's great, Bob.
Jim Turner, John Skurdy, Robert Ridgely. A man with a package walks towards a building's decorated doors. Two police officers, one stocky, one thin, pass him on their way out. Casting by Howard Feuer, music by David A. Stewart. The cops greet a townswoman. Children look at a window display. Costume designer, Judiana Makovsky. The window display features a train set and skating figurines. Production designer, Dan Davis. The children smile and point at the moving toys, then run down the street. They pass a shop just as a man in a red hat exits with a red and green package. The shopkeeper shuts off the light and closes the door. Film editor, Jeffrey Wolf. Director of photography, Adam Kimmel. The man in the red hat passes a woman. Executive producers, Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer. The man in the red hat drops money in a charity collection bucket. A man beside it rings a bell. Story by Marie Weiss. A man in a trench coat also donates money. Screenplay by Richard LeGravenace and Marie Weiss. Produced by Ron Bosman, Richard LeGravenace, Jeff Weiss.
Merry Christmas.
Directed by Ted Demme.
Merry Christmas.
The man continues to ring his bell. Above the storefronts, a sign in a second-story window, Dr. Wong, marriage counselor. A man in a sweater and spectacles sits across from a couple in an office lined with books. The woman has short brown hair, and the man wears glasses as well.
All right, this next exercise will help you both with listening. One of you will speak while the other really just listens. Would someone like to go first?
Me. I had this crazy dream.
Do we have to do dreams?
I was at this fancy restaurant having lunch, and the waiter brought me my entree. It was a salad. It was Lloyd's head on a plate of spinach with his penis sticking out of his ear. And I said, I didn't order this. And the waiter said, you must try it. It's a delicacy. But don't eat the penis. It's just garnish.
Lloyd eyes her.
Lloyd, what do you think about the dream?
I think she should stop telling it at dinner parties to all our friends. I mean, dreams should be private, don't you think?
I'm not here to judge or to take sides. I will say communication is healthy.
Uh-huh. Healthy? Telling people she dreams of me being castrated Florentined is healthy?
Are there any sexual problems in the marriage?
Lloyd gives her a warning look.
Well, the truth is, we haven't had sex in quite a while. And before that, it wasn't all that, what's the word? Noteworthy.
Lloyd stares as Dr. Wong scribbles on a pad.
By our 12th anniversary, we'd gotten into a pretty stale routine. A couple of kisses, a couple of nipple twists. It'd all be over in about the same time it takes to make a cappuccino, I know, because I timed it once. I mean, it's no wonder I had an affair.
Lloyd leans forward.
How could you tell him all that so casually, like you were asking for a glass of water?
Actually, may I have a glass of water?
Why don't you have oral sex, too? I'll go wait in the car.
Ow!
Lloyd.
Wong rings the bell.
How do you feel about Caroline's affair?
He just wants me to wear a red A on my chest and sleep in the basement.
Is that so unreasonable?
Everything's either black or white with him. You know, he doesn't see where he's responsible. And I mean, it just didn't mean anything to me. It shouldn't even be counted as an affair.
Lloyd turns to Wong.
I think we need a ruling on this.
Bells will be ringing.
A huge fancy house with four columns in front. A black car idles by the bushes at the end of the driveway. A man sits in the driver's seat in a black baseball hat, smoking a cigarette. He exhales a cloud of smoke, his face in shadows. Inside, a metal pole leads to an open power box. A hand in a latex glove connects a red wire to a row of wires within the box. A man in a black ski mask looks down at his laptop. He presses a key and a message pops up. Link established. Enter password. He presses more keys and a new screen pops up, listing a name, address, and credit card numbers. A lock on a safe. The man's gloved hand turns the dial slowly. Black contraptions are attached to the safe door. He watches through his mask's eye holes. The lock clicks into place. He opens the safe door. A nozzle above the safe sprays him with liquid. He removes his ski mask and headlamp and smells them.
Jesus. Cat piss.
Lloyd, have you forgiven Caroline for her affair?
Look, it was a long time ago. It's over. I'm fine about it. I just don't want to talk about it.
Well, then let me ask you something. What do you want from the marriage now?
I want to stop talking about it. Look, the truth is I want nothing. I have everything I need. I'm actually a very content person.
Oh, what a liar. You're so unhappy you can hardly breathe. And I feel it in every gesture and every silence, and I'm miserable. How can we both be in the marriage and I'm miserable and you're content?
Luck?
Caroline, what do you want from the marriage?
Oh, this should be good.
Oh, what does that mean?
Because you don't know what you want. You blame everybody else for it. She's impossible to satisfy. She lives in her fantasies. I mean, let's really try to understand Caroline's miserable life. She lives in a beautiful home.
Which his mother owns.
I have a successful business.
Which his mother owns. We're in servitude to his mother for a loan she's charging us 18% interest on. We personally own nothing.
We took out a loan. We have to pay it back.
No, you took out a loan. I mean, it was your decision, not mine. You took out a loan from Satan, Mom.
She blames my mother for everything that's gone wrong in her life. In the meantime, she never finishes anything she starts. Photography courses, existential philosophy courses, Scandinavian cooking classes.
At least I go after my dreams.
To be what? Somebody who takes photographs of Lutfish to prove the nothingness of being? No wonder our son's so confused.
Oh, see? He blames me for Jesse. Is that right?
I'm not here to judge or to take sides.
Oh, what the hell good are you? You're the one who suffocated him with limitations. Our son's a very sensitive, creative
juvenile delinquent.
Boy, he has the kind of imagination
that the mafia gives scholarships for.
Oh,
in the ninth grade, we told him he could get a part-time job. You ready for what he did? He started an escort service for the football team, and he gave out my mother's phone number.
And I still say getting laid by an 18-year-old linebacker is just what she needs.
Please, let's lower our voices.
Fuck you!
Gloved hands remove a pearl necklace and earrings from the safe and dumps them into a black bag on the burglar's waist. He still has his ski mask off, blonde hair exposed. He holds a flashlight in his teeth and grabs more jewelry from the safe. One item remains in the back, a diamond ring.
Yes.
He reaches for its small blue box, but a wire connects it to the safe. His eyes widen and he lets go. He notices a camera lens and pulls it. The lights turn on. Trap doors open beneath him, and he falls onto a slide which spits him onto the ground. His gun slides towards a dog.
Hello, Gussie. Where the hell are you?
The man in the car puts out his cigarette. Gus lays flat on his back where the slide tossed him. He raises his head slowly. A black dog is only feet away. Gus jumps to his feet and holds up a wooden pole, eyes wide. He glances at something on the ground, then reaches down and lifts up a pool ball.
Want to play ball? Play catch, pal? Huh? Chase the ball?
He sets the pole down and throws the ball. The dog watches it, then looks back to Gus. Gus grits his teeth and throws another pool ball at the dog, who catches it in his mouth. Gus's jaw drops as the dog crunches the ball into pieces and swallows it. Gus sighs and shakes his head, then looks towards the bag on his waist. He reaches in.
Good doggy. Good big-headed doggy. How about this?
He dangles a necklace and shakes his head. The dog watches. Gus throws the necklace and the dog runs for it. Gus jumps up to escape, grabbing his gun on the way. The dog turns and lunges at Gus's behind. Cop cars arrive at the house, red and blue lights flashing, and stop in front of the columns. A pile of cigarette butts on the street at the end of the driveway. One still smokes. An old-fashioned general store with striped awnings is lit up in the night. A silver sport utility vehicle pulls up in the dark parking lot. Caroline and Lloyd sit inside.
You can divorce me. You know, I mean, I don't care about alimony. You can say...
She shakes her head.
That I was unfaithful.
Lloyd looks over.
You were.
He cleans his glasses.
That's why I said you can say it.
No. You said it as if it weren't true, but that I could say it just to get the divorce, except that it is true, and we're not getting a divorce.
He stares at her. Blinks, turns on the radio, and keeps cleaning his glasses. She glances out.
Aren't you coming in with me?
No, I want to listen to the news. There is a world going on beyond our problems, Caroline.
She sneers, rolls her eyes, and gets out of the car. She looks back inside.
Just because you've made your decree about this divorce doesn't mean I'm giving up on it.
Caroline.
She turns.
The day you see anything through to the end, I'll stick my own dick in my ear.
She slams the door and stomps up the stairs to the general store. Lloyd watches her go, then blinks slowly and casts his eyes downwards. He blinks again and sighs. A figure in black appears behind the car, walking towards the store. The figure walks past the car as Lloyd puts his glasses back on. Lloyd stares straight ahead as the figure walks up the general store's front steps. Gus enters the general store.
I ordered a case of eggnog ahead of time so this wouldn't happen. You don't understand. I have 25 relatives coming in 1 hour. And you have one bottle of eggnog. What am I going to do?
Caroline stands in an aisle and puts her hand to her head.
Are you crazy?
Gus is an aisle over, peeking at Caroline.
There's no one in the store to help me. Can't you go home and make some?
Make some? Are you nuts?
Caroline scans the shelf, then puts her head back in her hand, holding a roll of paper towels with the other. She wipes a tear, then walks to a wider aisle. Gus appears and puts his hand on her shoulder.
Okay. Don't move. Don't talk. This is a gun in your back.
In the car, Lloyd stares off. Gus shoves Caroline in the front and gets in the back.
What's going on? Who is he?
He's the world was beyond our problem, which is now our problem.
Shut up.
Oh my God, Carrie, you all right?
Drive.
He points his gun.
Drive.
Police station.
Lieutenant Huff, how could this have happened at Old Baybrook?
Why weren't there more police in the street?
Don't you read the papers? This man has been terrorizing the entire county.
Look, I put more men on the street, but they're not qualified for this kind of thing.
And why not? They are police, aren't they?
They have no experience. Nothing ever happens in this town.
The lieutenant stands.
The only time we get calls from you people is when some kid is playing a practical joke. Or your faggot dogs start humping each other without permission.
A gasp.
Anytime there's any real problem, you people call your judge friends and your attorney general friends and your district attorney friends. Well, why don't you call them now and get the hell out of my office?
It doesn't necessarily have to be your office, Lieutenant Huff. You know, I'm calling an emergency meeting of the Old Baybrook Emergency Community Committee. And I'll be suggesting at that meeting that our volunteers patrol the streets to protect our homes. And if you would like, Lieutenant Huff, I will speak to the mayor, happens to be an old golfing chum of mine, about finding you a replacement, since you don't like it here in Old Baybrook. And maybe I'll just tell him that you've hit into a water hazard and you're way in over your head.
Huff looks up.
Get out.
Authorities have speculated that the thief may still be in the immediate area. The Connecticut State Police have just announced roadblocks are being set up
in
Interstate 95.
God damn it. Turn it off. Turn it off!
Lloyd turns off the radio.
God damn it. Shit.
In the car.
Fucking Christmas. Fucking cocksuckers. Jesus.
Lloyd glances at Gus in the rearview mirror, and Caroline keeps her gaze ahead.
I can't believe you're going to all this trouble for a thief. I mean, it's not like you killed anyone.
Yeah, I know. Kind of silly, ain't it?
Yeah.
Although it's still early, right?
What's that smell?
Shut up!
Gus glares at Lloyd.
Take me to your house.
Caroline looks to Lloyd.
Now listen, we'll drop you off wherever you'd like and we won't say a word. Believe me, we're not heroes.
I can vouch for that. Lloyd is
enough,
no hero.
Enough, okay? I said take me to your fucking house, all right? I gotta think. Fuck.
Lloyd chuckles.
Oh, yes, you're right. Lloyd's no hero. I can vouch for that. Thanks a lot.
Please, I was just trying to help.
Oh, go to hell.
Never have happened if you'd come into the store with me.
Well, that makes sense.
No, he chose me because I was alone.
Shut up!
He did not.
Jesus fucking Christ!
Okay.
Gus waves his gun and looks between them.
But I'm right, aren't I? You would never have taken a couple, would you? Would you?
All right, no.
No. Thank you. Thank you.
Christ.
Let's see.
Happy now?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Hey. Less than 10 minutes ago, you sat in the car and told me you want to stop arguing.
Hey, hey, stop, 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 hey,
hey,
stop, 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 stop,
hey, morons!
They run a stop sign.
You ran the stop sign.
I did not. There was no stop sign.
Oh, yes, there was, and yes, you did.
You didn't even see it.
He saw it. He said stop sign. I heard it very clearly.
I hijacked my fucking parents.
Somebody who makes sense. I listen to.
There was no stop.
Oh yes, there was.
Their silver car rides on. Huff heads towards the columned house.
Lieutenant, I found this mask with a weird smell.
The stocky and thin cops from the opening hand the mask to Huff. He sniffs it.
Urine.
Oh, thank God. Phil thought it might be semen.
Phil needs to talk to a therapist.
Hey, Lieutenant.
A cop points to a car phone. Huff walks over.
We found it.
I found it.
Why'd you say that? County prosecutor.
Huff takes the receiver.
Lieutenant Huff here.
Will Warren.
Shh. Suspect left behind a face mask. There are traces of blonde hair and the faint odor of aftershave mixed. A videotape? Where do you say it is? State police? Is that necessary? Well, my men are searching the place now. They could easily. What? Excuse me, but this is my jurisdiction, and we are perfectly capable.
Lieutenant Huff, I do not want you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Huff slams down the phone.
So, can we go home now?
The stocky cop approaches Huff.
Get everybody out of there, and leave a couple of guys here for the state police. They got professionals coming.
A clock tower. The time reads 6:45. The tower is atop a stately three-story building. Its facade is flanked by two tall pine trees. People exit and get into cars out front. Men in blue uniforms and black hats walk quickly past a door labeled Chasseur Harris. Inside a red-lit dark room, a gloved hand pulls a photo from a basin of liquid. A very young-looking man in glasses hangs the photo up to dry. It depicts a man in a t-shirt, wearing a collar with two scantily clad women crouched on either side of him. The young man jumps. He wipes his hands, turns off the red light, and enters his bedroom.
I'm coming.
He removes his glasses and opens the door.
Chasseur?
Le Chasseur. It's 18th century French Huguenot.
I'm glad I caught you before you left for the holidays. May I come in?
No.
An officer.
I can't give it to you out in the hall.
Listen, Siskel, I just developed some new pictures. Stunning. I'd even make a book. Something like Mapplethorpe, only a little bit more personal.
Demon seed.
Siskel scowls, and Chesser mocks offense. Siskel removes an envelope from his breast pocket. Chesser takes it and fans out hundreds.
My best to the wife and kids. Merry Christmas.
He smiles and waves. Lloyd's car pulls into a wooded driveway, then stops. Gus gets out of the back. As Caroline gets out of the car, Gus moves behind her. Lloyd gets out of the driver's side and approaches Gus, who pushes them both towards the house.
Move it.
Move it. We have gifts in the car. Just get
shut up. Shut up.
They enter their white, decorated home, and Lloyd turns on a light. Caroline runs towards the phone.
Hey, guys, it's me.
Hey!
I have a little extra work to do at school, so you don't have to pick me up at the station. I'm getting a ride home with a friend instead. I'll be a little late for dinner, so start without me, okay? Just kidding, Mom. See you later. Bye.
Who's that?
Jesse, our son.
We were supposed to...
Station.
At 8 o'clock.
Nice. You rich?
No. Oh, God, no.
Not really.
No.
Antiques like this ain't cheap.
Oh, I run an antique store in town. These are all from the
shop. It's his mother's store.
Lloyd turns.
So?
Well, you made it sound like it was yours. You know, I run an antique store.
I did not. I said I run it. I didn't say I own it.
Oh, come on, Lloyd. I am the manager of the place. Do you think he cares if you work for your mother?
Let's get one thing straight, okay? From now on, the only person who yells is me. Why? Because I have a gun, okay? People with guns can do whatever they want. Married people without guns, for instance, you. Do not get to yell.
They jump.
Why? No guns. No guns, no yelling. See? Simple little equation.
They cower.
Jesus Christ. Who are you fucking people?
Caroline and Lloyd Chesser. What's your name?
Fuck you, that's my name.
He gets close.
Got any rope? Lloyd?
He paces.
For what?
Gus knits his brow and gets in Lloyd's face.
What am I, applying for a job?
No.
Then stop asking me fucking questions, okay? You got any rope, Lloyd?
Lloyd stares back.
No, we don't have any rope.
We have bungee cords. They might work.
Where?
Right through there in the kitchen.
Move.
I don't believe you.
Expecting company?
Yes. Lloyd's mother and his brother's family are coming for dinner.
They should be here by 9.
Great.
Gus eats the baby Jesus from a candy nativity.
Jesus.
My rich.
A diner.
Pass the ketchup?
Pass the ketchup, please.
A family eats.
I'm not hungry now. I thought we were eating at Uncle Lloyd's.
God knows what disaster your Aunt Carolyn is making. This may be our last chance for normal food.
She does it to irritate me. I'm the one she's after.
But I'm not hungry.
Eat. Don't annoy me. It's Christmas.
I'm sure she's going to a lot of trouble.
Gary, the last time you ate her cooking, you had diarrhea for a week.
You had diarrhea for a week, Dad?
That is not appropriate in her conversation. Eat.
We hate Aunt Caroline's cooking so much. Why do we go there every year for Christmas?
Because my poor Lloyd needs his family. Otherwise, he'd be all alone with that adulteress and her delinquent son.
I hope they get into a fight like they always do. Their fights are bitching.
Shut up! Don't make me nuts today! It's Christmas!
Gary, in a bow tie, forces a smile.
Merry Christmas.
Back at Lloyd and Caroline's home, the couple are tied up with bungee cords.
So, what's the worst dive bar near here?
The Macro Lounge. How do you know?
They turn.
I passed by once on the access road.
Oh, you passed by it on the access road? Did you ever pass by the 17th hole? It's like a urinal with windows.
Well, I don't want to argue about it,
but... And the Macro Lounge could be a dive bar because they can have entertainment.
In the kitchen, Gus looks in a phone book. A dive bar.
Macro Lounge, Herbie speaking.
Yeah, I'm looking for a friend of mine.
It couldn't be the worst dive bar in town.
Come here, just 1 second, please.
Oh, you happen to know.
Can afford.
Gus sprays the couple with a detachable spray nozzle.
Thanks. Looking for a friend of mine. He's kind of a short,
drunken loser.
You just described everybody in the place.
All right, well, just see if there's a guy named Murray there, okay?
Is there a Murray here?
The man from the getaway car smokes a cigarette at the bar. He looks over his shoulder, then down.
I don't think he's here, pal.
See if there's a waste of fucking life named Murray. Try that one, okay?
Is there a fucking waste of life named Murray here?
The man smiles.
Yes.
He motions to the bartender, who hands him the phone. He puts it to his ear.
Hello?
Murray.
He grins.
How are you, pal?
Fine. How
are you?
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Of course, I'm a little tired from
running for 1,000 fucking miles because there was no fucking car waiting for me!
He bangs the phone on the counter.
What did I tell you if something went wrong, Murray? I told you to act like a drunk, vagrant imbecile. Is that too much of a fucking stretch?
I got nervous. The cops were all over the place. Cops, they've set up a roadblock. They're checking cars.
And by 10 o'clock tonight, there's a curfew. I just heard that in the bar.
Gus paces. He knocks one pot from the hanging rack and they all fall down. Lloyd and Caroline watch, brows knitted.
Excuse me. Is anything wrong?
Lloyd, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Shut up. Don't say anything to me, okay? Understand? Don't say a word. Shh.
Because maybe we can help, you know.
Gus holds up a pot. He tosses it.
Gussie, where the hell are you? I'm scared. I don't think I can handle this.
You been drinking?
Whiskey. He pushes his glass away.
What are you, nuts?
Just calm down, okay? Just calm down.
Try to help me.
An ad.
I'll tell you what. Go to a place called Winslow Harbors, okay? And steal us a boat.
Boat?
Murray laughs.
I'm a car man. Gussie, what the hell do I know about boats?
Figure it out, okay? I don't care if it's a barrel, as long as it fucking floats. 7:30 now. Curfew starts at 10. It gives you more than enough time. You got a pen? Write this number down, okay? 555.
The ad.
3537. Okay, repeat it.
3537. Listen, kid. Maybe you better tell me where the swag is in case I have to bribe somebody.
No, Murray.
But...
No! You can hotwire station wagons, you can hotwire a fucking boat. And just remember, if you can't, what men your age become in prison.
Wet nurses. Okay, Murray?
Bye-bye.
He hangs up. The back of the phone book displays the Winslow Harbors ad.
Thanks.
Gus opens the fridge.
Everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be A-okay. Where's the boat? A couple hours. We'll be out of here. Right back on track, right? Right.
Gus grabs a blue bottle and knocks it back, guzzling. Lloyd and Caroline watch with disgusted expressions, tied to chairs facing him. He slams the bottle down.
Now, got any cigarettes?
I don't smoke, and Caroline just quit.
Caroline looks away. Gus saunters forward and leans on the counter.
Just quit, huh?
He raises his eyebrows.
So, where are they, Caroline?
She looks up.
What do you mean?
Where are they, Caroline?
He smiles and cocks his head. She sighs.
Behind the chessboard.
Lloyd's eyes bulge.
Chessboard, chessboard, what? You told me you quit.
Yes. I told you I wouldn't smoke in the house. I never said I quit.
You said you quit. You haven't had a cigarette in 3 months.
I haven't finished a cigarette in 3 months. I take a few drags. I don't inhale.
You are such a liar.
I don't believe
it.
Oh,
I am
sat right
a liar.
In the dining room. You lied to
I
me.
Did
you looked
not.
Me right in the eye and
it wasn't
you lied
even in
to
the dining
me less
room.
Than
it was in
10
the
feet from where we're sitting right now. I wonder how many other things you've been lying to me about that I don't know about.
Gus shoves their chairs and they fall backwards, flat on their backs. He leans over them.
Did you say that you would quit, Caroline? Did you say that you would quit?
She purses her lips, then nods.
Yes. So you are a liar. End of story.
Lloyd snickers. Caroline turns to him, as does Gus. Gus points his gun at Lloyd, resting it on his nose. Lloyd's face falls.
You saw the stop sign, didn't you, Lloyd? Huh? You saw the stop sign, didn't you, Lloyd?
Gus raises his eyebrows. Lloyd's chin trembles.
Yes, it did.
Yes. So you two are a liar. Capital L, small I, small A, small R, period. Now shut the fuck up.
Did you have an accident?
Gus looks down at his clothes and sniffs. He grits his teeth and walks off.
Oh, did you know you're bleeding?
His pants are torn.
Oh, yeah.
Were you shot?
Goddamn dog bit me.
What dog?
Willard's dog.
A cannibal bit you?
His name is Cannibal?
Yeah. there are band-aids in the bathroom in the master bedroom upstairs.
Lloyd turns slowly towards her.
What's through here?
He gestures.
That's the mud room.
Gus leaves.
Use the ouch list. They're in the green container.
Lloyd watches her.
I don't believe it. You want to have sex with him.
Caroline turns to him.
What? Use the ouch list. We have bungee cords.
I'm frightened. Humans get frightened because they have feelings. Didn't your alien leaders teach you that before they sent you here?
I suppose you'll use this drama as a reason to have another affair. I feel sorry for the next delivery man that comes to this house.
They go still.
Shh.
Gus turns from the corner and points his gun.
Okay. Our car's in the driveway. The lights are on. They know we're in here.
Lloyd and Caroline still lay on the floor, bound to chairs. A man in a Santa suit is at their front door. Gus looks through their peephole beside Caroline.
Who the fuck is that?
To Caroline.
Make
it quick.
Okay.
Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho! Did I catch you at a bad time?
No. I was, in the attic.
I bet you thought Margaret forgot you on her fruitcake list.
I thought... maybe.
Well, she would never do that.
Oh. Great. Thank you, George.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, thanks to Margaret.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Bye.
Hey, did you hear about the reward? Willard called the radio station from Bimini when he found out about the robberies. And he said he'll give $100,000 to anyone who captures this guy.
Gus bangs his head to the door. George starts.
Well.
Okay,
well,
bye.
I got a lot of children to see before that curfew tonight. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Hey, my best to Lloyd.
Yep.
Yeah, and to that son of yours.
Jesse.
Right.
Yeah, okay,
I'm still
bye-bye.
Waiting for our chess rematch, you know. And if he happens to know where the town's baby Jesus is, we're still missing it from the lawn nativity scene from last year.
He eyes her.
My God.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
He gestures and she shuts the door. Outside, a backseat car window rolls down. Jesse watches George leave. Gus tears open the fruitcake box.
That guy blames Jesse for everything that happens.
Gus eats the cake.
And he hasn't played chess with him for years.
Oh. What's in this?
I don't know, alum. I made it.
He spits it back in the box.
Welcome to the suburbs.
He points the gun at her.
Where are those band-aids?
Upstairs.
Show me.
She leads him up the stairs. He stops in front of a framed, colorful drawing.
Wow. It's nice.
Yeah. It's my mother-in-law's. Every time I pass it, I feel her eyes on me. You want it?
She walks.
Do I want it?
He looks back at it.
This is a Chagall, right? This is a real Chagall.
Yeah.
Gus shakes his head.
That really pisses me off.
Sorry?
Well, I mean, you know, you got something like this hanging on your wall, you don't even fucking appreciate it. Probably because you never worked a day in your life.
He points the gun and continues up the stairs. She turns.
That's not true. We had our own business once. We owned a restaurant. An Italian restaurant. Because I would have preferred French, but anyway. Failed eventually.
What are we, girlfriends here? Do I give a shit about this? No. Let's move.
In the car outside.
You want to go for a cup of coffee?
Look, kid. I gotta get home to my family. This is my last job.
Jesse looks out the window.
Come on. It can't be that bad.
Look, can you just drive me around the block a little? I'll give you another 50.
Well, that's your money, pal.
Jesse stares ahead as the limo pulls forward. A Christmas party.
Who's been naughty and who's been nice?
Here
we are. Hey, we got one for Johnny here. Oh, and here's one for Britta. And for Karen. And here's a beautiful one for
you. It's so cold out tonight. Do you think Santa would like something to eat?
Look, my lemon ice hot. My son is so hungry.
Here, let's give him some cookies.
Cookies.
Here's Santa. Cookies over here.
Oh, cookies.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
She smiles.
All right, everybody, tuck in. Let's eat, huh?
Okay.
All right. Enough with the cookies, kids.
A brunette saunters away from George dressed as Santa and towards a man in a red sweater in a room full of adults and food. Gus walks down an upstairs hallway, gun in a holster on his belt. He stops in front of a table with framed photos on top. the milestones of a smiling family. Lloyd and Caroline lay tied together, facing each other.
You two were gone an awfully long time.
I got us moved to a more comfortable place, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd you have to do for it? Dress his wounds.
Oh, that's right, Lloyd. We're having an affair. He wants to run away with me to Acapulco. He just tied me up with you in case I had second thoughts.
No one goes to Acapulco anymore.
Our son's walking in here any minute. Why don't you worry about that?
Look, if we just cooperate, I'm sure he won't hurt him.
She struggles.
What are you doing?
She fidgets.
I think we can get out of these. Oh, move your body!
Stop that. What if he walks in here?
Just say we're being affectionate.
Tied up with an armed man in the house?
Works for me.
She smiles at him. Gus stands in a cluttered home office, holding a model airplane. He places it down and looks around. A brown trunk on the ground catches his eye. The initials NM mark the top. Gus walks to it, bends, and opens it. Inside, a towel. Beneath it, a porcelain baby Jesus. Gus picks it up and smiles. Lloyd and Caroline still struggle on the bed.
Just reach down and touch that clippery thing.
Listen to me. I cannot move my arm.
Stop it. What's that?
He makes a strained face and Caroline looks down.
It's nothing.
It doesn't feel like nothing.
She smirks.
Just the friction.
They giggle and tussle with the ropes, then fall still, faces close together. Caroline smiles and Lloyd looks at her lips.
Lloyd, you animal.
Gus smokes a cigarette.
Haven't you left yet?
Did you hear the fucking phone ring?
Look, what about our son?
Well, I guess it's going to be a real Chasseur family picnic, huh?
That's Chasseur. It's 18th century French Huguenot.
Lloyd perks up, then drops his head back to the bed.
Got any extra cord?
No, we don't have any extra cord.
Okay. Guess we're going to have to economize, huh?
Gus leans forward and unclips a bungee cord at Lloyd's back. Cops direct a line of cars on a rural street. Flares light the way. Gary's car is stopped by a cop.
May I see some identification, please?
Certainly, sir.
How can they do this to people on Christmas Eve?
Well, there is a criminal at large, and they can't stop for the holidays.
Maybe they'll catch him and then let him go in the spirit of Christmas.
But that is not the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is either you're good, or you're punished and you burn in hell. Who would catch a criminal and then let him go free?
Republicans?
The mother shoots the daughter a look.
Continue. Have a Merry Christmas.
Lloyd's thumbs fidget. He wears his wedding ring. He is now tied to a bedpost with a sheet, his arms still bound by bungee cords. Caroline is tied to another bedpost in the same fashion. She sighs.
Why don't you just give yourself up?
What'd you say?
Well, you're not going to kill an entire family. It's over. I mean, you're not the type. You're a thief, not a killer. That's obvious.
Gus rises.
I hate guys like you. You know? Your Jeep Grand Cherokees and your Nicaraguan maids and your Ping Zing golf clubs. Every goddamn thing in the world handed to you. I mean, what fucking purpose do you people serve?
You're a criminal. What possible purpose could you serve?
Fuck you, Lloyd. I work for a living, okay? I have a skill. I'm in the game, pal. What do you do except take up fucking space?
He tightens ties.
If you're so skilled, what are you doing stuck here?
Let me tell you something. I can break into any house, anywhere, anytime, take whatever I want, in and out, 10 minutes, no prints, no evidence, nothing. What's his name? Hadn't installed that fucking Roadrunner booby trap. I'd be in Jamaica by now.
I'm impressed.
No, you people don't get impressed, do you? Huh? Life just bores the shit out of you people. Well, I'm sorry. We don't all have rich mummies and daddies we can live off of or open restaurants when we get bored playing tennis.
Lloyd's gaze snaps to Gus. Caroline's eyes widen and Lloyd zeroes in on her.
You told him about the restaurant?
Yeah. I heard you couldn't cut it working for a living, Mr. Brooks Brothers, so you just...
Shut up!
Caroline looks to Lloyd. He casts a steely gaze.
You know, you and my wife have a lot in common. You both think you have some right to life working out the way you want it to, and if it doesn't, you get to act any way you want. Problem with that is someone still has to be responsible. I'd love to run around taking classes and playing with my inner selfness. I'd love the freedom to be a pissed off criminal without any responsibility, except I don't have the time.
He scowls.
But you don't see me with a gun. You don't see me sleeping with someone else.
To Caroline.
You think my life turned out the way I wanted because I live in this house?
You think every time I look in the mirror, I shout, gee, I'm glad I'm me, and not some 19-year-old billionaire rock star with the body of an athlete and a 24-hour erection? No, I don't. So just excuse the shit out of me.
Oh, God.
Gus points his gun. He sidesteps towards the bedroom door, glances out, and closes it, gun trained on the couple. Jesse stomps up the stairs with his duffel bag and a steel briefcase. He reaches the top and pauses in front of his parents' door, head cocked. Gus cocks his head on the other side of the door. Jesse shrugs and walks down the hallway to his room. Gus glances at the couple, his ear still to the door. Jesse enters his poster-covered room in work boots and jeans and kneels to the ground with his steel briefcase. He pops it open. He carefully removes a floorboard, but bangs it into the briefcase. He startles from the noise and looks up towards his door, then gently sets the floorboard down. He transfers envelopes and stacks of money from the briefcase to the space beneath the floor. He closes the briefcase. Gus steps away from the bedroom door, raising his gun.
Are you guys decent? Hello? Hey!
Jesse!
Jesse!
Who are you?
Don't hurt
me. Watch it! You guys okay?
Hands behind your back.
Gus intercepts Jesse and pushes him to his knees. Lloyd and Caroline strain to see him while Gus ties him up.
Wait a second. You're the guy...
Shut up!
Jesse turns.
This isn't your M.O. You only knock over estates. But hostages? That's a no-win situation.
You too, huh? You know what this family needs? A mute. Let me just say it one more time. I have a gun. It's loaded. Shut up, okay?
Yes, but we have people coming for dinner.
See, they're driving down from Boston. It's traditional.
Five
they do it
extra
every
people.
Year.
What are you going to do, tie us all up?
Dinner's canceled.
Well, we can't cancel dinner. I mean, they're on the road.
We can't put them off. They'll be here by 9.
Should I just shoot one of you guys in the foot? Would that get the point across?
Listen, if the police have a curfew, they might do house-to-house searches. You see? You can't stay here.
That would be very bad for you, really.
I can't leave until my partner calls.
How do you know he'll call?
He'll call. He better fucking call. I swear to God, he doesn't call.
It smells like piss.
They all turn to Gus, who points his gun at Jesse and motions for him to lie down. He does. A black and white classic on a small TV.
Maybe I could sell tickets. No. Let's see. No, that. The point is...
Policemen watch.
You know, I've never seen this movie all the way through.
Don't you live in this country?
Well, I mean, they show it during the holidays and with the kids and the family. I've never seen the whole thing.
It's the color of your jacket.
I'd say it's charcoal green. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, it's just a...
Merry Christmas, Lieutenant.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Where the hell are you two going? Stay here.
The stocky cop looks to Phil, the thin cop.
Did you have to say Merry Christmas? It's the way I was brought up.
Huff slides in a VHS.
Push rewind.
Is this it?
No, that's fast forward. This is it.
A cop presses a button. Static.
Give me that.
Huff grabs the remote and presses rewind. He turns to his men.
What you're about to see has to be kept within the confines of this room. Do you understand?
Steve and Phil shuffle forward in their plain clothes. The other cops shift in their seats and exchange nods. Huff turns and the tape plays. Gus shines his light in the safe.
Wait a minute, that's... Shh! It's old man Willard's place.
Gus drops the diamond ring box, looks around, then falls out of frame. The cops lean forward and Huff stops the tape.
Now listen up.
Precinct.
We're gonna find this guy. I want you to watch it a few more times. Then I'll organize specific teams, each with a specific geographic location.
Lieutenant. Some county prosecutor guy?
He points to the phone.
I'll take it in my office. Nobody leaves.
Yeah, he'll be right with you. Okay, I'll put you on hold. Thank you.
The cops nod and Huff walks out. Phil turns.
Wow.
Yeah. Should we watch it again?
I think we should just wait till Huff gets back.
Well, while we're waiting...
One cop shrugs. Another glances at the remote, then grabs it.
I think this is it.
He presses record.
No. It's this one.
Record again.
Now you listen to me. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any ground floors. And I don't want to get married ever to anyone. You understand that?
The cops smile at the classic movie. A car pulls up to empty snowy docks. A boathouse is lit with Christmas lights. The car stops, and Murray gets out in his black baseball hat. He looks around and puts a cigarette to his lips. He lights it and smokes, then sticks his hand in his pockets, looking out at the water in one direction. Nothing. He turns his head and something catches his eye. A small boat with a half-built cabin, strung with Christmas lights. Murray looks over his shoulder and walks down the dock, past empty crates. He approaches the boat, scanning it. He stops in front of it.
Hey! Who are you?
His eyes bulge. A woman.
I'm Murray.
What do you want?
Is this your boat?
He removes his hat and she stares at him. The Cheshire House.
That was quite an outburst. I should tie you up more often.
In the bedroom.
Listen. About the restaurant, I didn't
say... How did you get home again?
Dad, like I said, I got to argue with a friend.
Which friend?
Friend.
Which friend? Do I know him?
All right, I took a limo, okay?
A limo? Where'd you get the money for a limo?
Okay, I didn't take a limo. I stole one. Is that better?
Listen, smart mouth.
Gus in the bathroom.
Listen, I'm asking my son a question.
No, you're not. You're not.
I've never disciplined him.
You had not sent him.
Gus covers his ears.
Military academy. I went there. I was.
Oh yeah, for a summer. I go for my whole entire high school life.
You were sent there because high schools wouldn't enroll you anymore.
There
were.
Nobody's
fault. Okay,
that's it.
Gus bursts in.
What the hell is wrong with you people? You're supposed to be a family. How can you talk to each other like that? Let's just go on Oprah and get it over with. Christ! What's the quickest way to the docks?
You take Bainbridge,
you take Main Street, and you turn left on Domino Square.
You can't make a left on Domino Square.
You
it's a one-way
make a
street.
Left on
no. Bainbridge is the only two-way street to the docks. You go to the clock tower.
You're never getting out of here.
Left on Bainbridge.
Why don't you just take the highway?
Why would you take the highway?
Because it's quicker.
Not the way you drive.
All right, we don't have much time. Pay attention to any distinguishing features.
The cops sit upright in their chairs. Huff turns to the monitor and presses play. Static, then the movie they were watching.
Now you listen to me. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any ground floors. You understand that?
Huff fast forwards, and the cops look at each other. He mumbles and presses the buttons again.
I don't want any plastics.
Lieutenant Huff.
I don't want any ground floors.
I believe you have some evidence in your possession belongs to the county prosecutor's office.
The cops all turn to look at a mustached man, then back to Huff, who stares at the TV set with a furrowed brow. Gus paces in the bedroom.
Unbelievable. No sense of time.
He twirls a doll.
Never again.
He kicks a dresser, then staggers.
Excuse me. Those dolls are my mother's. She's been collecting them for years. Could you please be a little more careful with them?
I'm sorry.
He breaks the head off, throws the body against the wall, then the head against the wall.
You know, if he doesn't call, you're dead in the water.
Jesse, be quiet.
Listen to your father, kid.
I'm only stating the obvious.
Just stop.
What is it, 20 minutes till curfew? And I heard in the radio they found a ski mask on the scene. Anyone get a good look at you?
To residents of Old Baybrook, Jeremiah Willard is known as the Amusement Park King. A childlike eccentric, he is known for his love of animals and generous contributions. We now go to the Willard Mansion and to our on-the-scene reporter, Mike Michaels. Mike?
Thanks, Karen. Old Baybrook residents will be competing for top dollars before tonight's curfew goes into effect. Representatives of Jeremiah Willard have confirmed the reward is now $200,000. This may turn out to be a very Merry Christmas for some lucky family. Back to you, Karen.
Gus smokes and shuts off the TV. Jesse sits on the floor and loosens the ties behind his back.
I'm in hell. Connecticut is the fifth ring of hell. What the fuck is that?
Gus draws his gun. Lloyd points to the smoke detector. Gus grabs a chair, steps on it, and his foot goes straight through. He falls and hits his head on a table. Jesse keeps at his ties.
Jesus!
Gus frees himself from the chair and throws it. He hops on the bed and swings at the ceiling, but misses and falls. Jesse jumps up and grabs the gun.
What happened?
He aims.
Stay where you are!
Jesse!
Untie my parents, now!
Kid, what are you doing?
I mean it! Untie my parents.
Jesse.
Jesse, phone the police.
Put the gun down.
Shut up.
No. Phone the police.
No.
Get back on your knees. Come on, right now or I'll shoot.
You will?
I will. I'll shoot you.
So I'm gonna keep on walking. Can you get to that phone before I get to you?
Jesse, put the gun down.
Jesse backs towards the phone. Gus grabs his wrist, grabs the gun, and shoves him on the bed. Ah! Gus shoots the smoke detector, then grabs the phone and marches it over to Caroline. Gary's wife calls from the payphone outside the general store. Gus holds the phone up for Caroline.
Hello?
Caroline? It's Connie.
Oh,
listen, we got a little held up. We'll be there in 20 minutes. I hope that dinger isn't ruined.
Oh, well, come on.
Okay, bye.
All right, get in the car!
Gus hangs up and checks his watch.
Great. Looks like there's going to be one more for dinner, huh?
Siskel sits at his desk with a bottle of alcohol, looking at several prints of the raunchy photos Jesse developed earlier. They depict him with women.
Siskel.
Honey, when are you coming home? Your parents are here. The children are asking for you.
Sorry, Stella. I had some last-minute work to do. I'll get there as soon as I can, okay? Tell the kids I love them.
Siskel hangs up and gazes at a picture on his desk of himself with his wife and children. He puts his head in his hand. At the Chesser house, Gus ties Jesse to a chair in a closet.
Look, you're making a mistake. I can help you out, you know. $11,000 worth of cash money.
Hey,
Gus sits.
It's been a long, bad day. Right now, I'd rather be in Iraq than in this fucking house. So do me a favor, do yourself a favor, cut the shit, okay?
I'm not. It's the truth. Got a little blackmail deal going in school and...
Blackmail? What are we, $110? You're doing blackmailing people?
Yeah. I need some big money fast. I was desperate. I wanted to get out of here.
Gus shifts.
Desperate about what?
Let's see. I got 2 years, 4 months left in military school. My parents hate each other. My father records every mistake in my life like he's preparing for my parole hearing. I don't get to do anything by myself. And I live in the suburbs. You figure it out.
So where are you gonna go?
Jesse looks down.
Huh?
I don't know. Where do you go?
Where do I go? Well, I usually end up in Jamaica with this friend of mine, Jimmy Marlowe. He steals appliances off of trucks. I get the money back from the fence, which is usually about half what the stuff's really worth. Spend all the money, come home, start all over again. Of course, this time, supposed to be the big final score, you know, the big retirement score.
He nods.
Why are you quitting now? You got a great life.
Gus sighs.
Let me explain something to you, kid. What I do, running around, stealing shit, that may sound great when you're 15 years old, but it sucks just a little bit when you're 35. No family, no house. I got a partner who's 56 years old. He's an alcoholic. He still can't figure out why they took Happy Days off the air. And then I got to turn on TV every day and see kids like you, one after the other on these talk shows. You got everything. You got opportunities up the ass. You got a family to come home to. And what do? You sit around and you bitch and you moan because things don't go your way. Well, you know what, kid? Welcome to the real world where most of the time things don't go your fucking way.
Easy for you to say. Everything goes your way.
Gus shakes his head.
You know what? I think I had you pegged wrong.
He stands.
I don't think you have a brain in your fucking head.
He ties a tie around Jesse's mouth.
Merry Christmas.
Gus exits. He unties Lloyd and Caroline.
Now, we don't have much time. Rules of the house. No telephone except for the one in the kitchen. No television. Tell them the cable's out. Nobody in the second floor in case your son makes any noise. We are one unit. I want the two of you together in front of me at all times. And no arguing either. When you two fight, you forget about everything else. Behave and pay attention, or I take your son with me, okay? Now, tell me about this doctor guy.
Gus turns around in a tie and blazer. A tall man walks into Huff's office.
I received a call from Will Warren, the county prosecutor, happens to be a very close friend of mine. You'll be glad to know that in spite of your bungling, he's confident they'll find our thief in those house-to-house searches during curfew. Another thing, he said, your men are to assist and report to me, as per his instructions. You can call if you'd like. Let's see, one other thing. Oh, yes, your Christmas wish came true. You're to be out of here the day after Christmas. Isn't that a lovely Noel? It's been swell.
Bob.
Yes?
He turns.
I nailed your wife.
What?
After the town meeting last August, you were in Rhode Island on business.
He sits at his desk with liquor.
3 times, Bob.
Bob's face falls.
She said you never went 3 times, Bob.
Huff stares him down. Steve and Phil in uniform at the Chesser house.
Merry Christmas, Lloyd.
Merry Christmas, Lloyd.
Phil, Steve, Merry Christmas. Are you guys working tonight?
No, they're starting at curfew tonight, and this is our area.
Yeah, it's our beat.
Thought we might say hi to Gary.
Gary? Gary's around?
Is he here yet?
Gary.
Who's Gary?
No. It's my brother-in-law. No, they all grew up together.
Great.
Gus falls in the closet.
Is that Caroline? I'd love to say hello.
Oh, I'd love to see Caroline.
Yeah. You know, your wife?
Of course it is. What am I doing? She's upstairs. She's just change. Come on. You want a cup of coffee? Come on.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. There's in the kitchen. You can
have a piece of pie or something.
Oh,
we have pie.
Were you guys here last year?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a rum cake. I think someone made.
You guys had great cake? Coffee. Yeah.
Well, you guys just help yourselves. I'll go get Caroline. All right. So
Lloyd is pulled in the closet.
What is wrong with you, Lloyd?
Look, you would have caused more suspicion to say no.
Besides me.
Would you shut up? There was no other alternative.
I could have been in the shower. I could have been dressing.
Jim could have been wrapping presents. What is this, a lying seminar? You made a noise. I was distracted.
He was distracted.
They exchange nervous glances in the closet. In another closet, Jesse squirms in his bungee cords. Lloyd and Gus, in a suit, eavesdrop on Caroline as she serves the cops coffee in the kitchen. Steve is on the phone.
No, I'm not buying wine for your brother. No, he can suck on a grape, Arch. Forget it. Okay, I'll get the milk and the donuts.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Marge, hold on. They got another call coming in. Yes, I'll talk to you later. Hello?
Gussie?
No, this is Lieutenant Milford. To whom am I speaking?
Murray hangs up.
We hung up.
Who was it?
I don't know. Hung up.
Lloyd and Gus look at each other.
Probably a wrong number.
Yeah.
Crank
call.
Kids.
Yeah, kids. That's it. So, it's late.
When do you think Gary might be getting here?
Well, this is the thing. Maybe what you should do is go, and when Gary comes, I'll get him to call you. You know, at the office or wherever. Because, you know, Christmas Eve, you're so busy, and I...
No, that's okay.
Oh, I'll get it. That's it, love. Hello? Hello. Are you feeling better?
Who gives a rat's ass how I feel? Where's Gussie?
I'll get him. Back in a minute.
She leaves the phone on the counter.
Can't believe I'm working tonight.
I know. I mean, you know, some guy robbing people on Christmas Eve.
It's not right. It's not right. I'll get him, though. Got every cop and his brother out looking for him.
Murray listens.
Christmas Eve.
Murray.
Upstairs.
He hung up.
Oh, he sounded upset.
He should be. He's gonna die a horrible fucking death.
Caroline! Speaking of which. So.
Downstairs.
Gary and Connie and
Mary
the kids.
Yeah.
Mary
Beth Smith.
Mary Beth Smith downstairs.
Steve!
Oh, Mary.
Mom? Merry Christmas.
Mom, the TV's broke. What are we gonna do all night?
Celebrate the birth of Christ. Now put the presents under the tree.
Connie, honey, look who dropped by.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Connie.
Connie smiles at the police.
I'll take that bag upstairs.
I'll take it. I want to change my shoes.
Lloyd and Gus.
Mom, hi.
Lloyd, who is this?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Who is this?
This is the doctor we were telling you about, Dr. Wong.
Ah, the marriage doctor.
Right, yeah.
Wong? You're a Wong?
Well, my mother was Irish.
And your father?
Wasn't.
Why don't we go downstairs?
I want to change my shoes.
Your shoes are lovely.
My feet hurt.
Take them off. Go barefoot. A bohemian Christmas. I'm up for that.
What the hell is wrong with you? Why do you get strange at family gatherings?
It's not me, Mom. It's Caroline. She's a little nervous about the dinner. Maybe you could go tell her what you think, you know? Give her a hand. You know what a bad cook she is.
She turns.
All right.
She walks off.
Well, aren't you going to take my bag up?
Later.
Well, I'll take
it. No, I'll go, I'll go. I just wanted to be close to you.
He loves you so very much.
Around the corner, Caroline rolls her eyes. Smiling, Lloyd and Gus block the staircase, and Lloyd's mom finally walks away.
Caroline, could you come up here for a minute?
Caroline approaches.
I thought you needed help.
Yes, well, everything's in the dining room. Why don't you light the candles? That'd be good.
Caroline walks upstairs and answers the phone in the bedroom.
Hello?
Where's Gus?
She hands the phone to Gus.
Murray?
How do I know this is Gussie?
Because the next time I see you, I'm going to tear all the hair out of your balls one by one, you fucking mule. How's that?
Kid, I got good news.
Yeah?
A friend of mine's got a boat.
Friend? Nobody likes you. What are you talking about, friend?
Well, somebody I just met, and we kind of hit it off. I think she really likes me.
She? She? Murray, I've been in this house all night wondering if I'm going to get busted or not, and you've been fucking dating. Is that it, Murray?
Calm down. It's the best I could do. Listen, she's a nice woman, and she's just seeking parole from New Jersey.
An ex-con?
Yeah.
That's great. That's just great. Hey, you know, she's not going to turn us in.
She wouldn't. She can't afford to. If she did, she'd be back in the slammer before she knew it. Honest, she's legit. But there's just one little problem.
What? Children?
No. The boat needs little work.
Gus laughs and drops the phone to his side, putting his hand over his eyes. He rubs his face. He composes himself and puts the phone back to his ear. He walks to the window and pulls back the curtain, just as a cop car rolls by with its lights on. Murray waits at the dock's payphone.
Hello?
Gus paces away from the window.
Hello?
He smiles.
How long?
Hour, hour and a half.
Hour.
Murray nods.
Okay.
You have an hour.
Hour.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Gus hangs up. The Christmas party with George.
Back's check, 3 or 4 minutes away.
Boy, isn't this exciting? Sure glad I got a chance to see Santa while he was here.
And Santa would like to toast you all for answering the call of duty on the holiest of nights. Everyone, grab a glass. You too, grab a glass. Come on, grab a glass. To everyone, come on.
Santa doesn't drink champagne. Santa drinks milk.
George zeroes in on the boy.
Look. Santa can't drink any more milk tonight. Santa has a lactose intolerance. It gives him horrible gas pains. You want to see Santa farting down everyone's chimney? Merry Christmas.
He knocks back a drink. At their dining room table, the Chessers wear lit candlestick headpieces.
What we're having is a traditional Scandinavian Christmas feast. We have roast suckling pig, fresh baked kringlors with a honey pecan dipping sauce, 7-day-old lutefisk, and lamb gherkins. What you're wearing on your heads are called Lucia wreaths. They're worn in honor of Saint Lucia, a brave and noble woman I admire very much. A woman whose beliefs were so strong, they rendered her inflammable. As the story goes, Lucia was engaged to be married. And instead of giving her dowry to her in-laws, she gave it to the poor people of the village. Her husband-to-be, thinking she was out of her mind, betrayed her to the Romans as a Christian. And they condemned her to burn at the stake. But although she was surrounded by flames, she would not burn. And they had to stab her with a sword.
My God. Is this a Christmas story?
Who cares? My forehead is blistering.
I think it's cool, Aunt Caroline.
Thank you. Okay, dig in, everybody. Don't be shy.
Lloyd's mom removes her candlestick headdress. Lloyd smiles.
Everything looks great, honey.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Gus spits food into his napkin.
From what school are you trained, Dr. Wong? Freud?
Nah, I'm going for that dream stuff.
Really? You don't think patients should examine their dreams?
Well, I just don't think they should bother other people with them. I mean, what kind of a loser actually thinks anybody else is interested?
Caroline sighs.
You must have met a great many strange and disturbed people, Dr. Wong.
My line of work, you meet some real wackos.
You call your patients wackos?
Yeah, they like it.
Well, it seems that this therapy is working. I've never seen these two so agreeable together. What the hell am I eating?
Oh, that's a parsnip kringlor. They date back to the 4th century.
That's what it looks like. Where's your son?
He's spending the night with a friend.
On Christmas Eve?
I think it's very strange.
Well,
he...
Actually, that was my idea. Because when one is constructing highways of communication between two people, it's sometimes a good idea to clear the road and slowly introduce exit signs.
That's funny. I heard something very similar on Oprah last week.
I assume that as you've built highways of communication, you have discussed Caroline's adultery.
What?
She jumps.
You told your mother?
And why not? He was very upset and he needed someone he could trust to talk to. Tell me something. In your professional opinion, should these two be married?
Mother? Caroline?
She pours herself a glass of wine and gets up, then looks at Gus and sits.
Is that part of the treatment, too? She can't leave?
Yes, Dr. Wang. Why don't you tell us all about your treatment in detail? It'll be so fascinating.
Lloyd looks to Gus.
Well, it's a,
Gary watches him.
Complex web.
Caroline drinks.
Of complications, which need to be weaved and woven into a quilt of some kind. It's a really expensive treatment, I can tell you that much. It cost a hell of a lot of money.
These lamb cousins are great, sweetheart.
They're gookins, not cousins, honey.
Where I was born, Dr. Wong, life and marriage was less complicated. My marriage was arranged, in fact. My husband lived in the next town, and our parents wanted to join farms.
Really? What kind of farms?
Pigs.
Connie looks up.
Caroline, could I have the wine?
It's all finished. We have to get another bottle.
Lloyd and Gus follow her.
Where are you all going?
I gotta stay with them to weave the,
The table stares, and he removes his candlestick hat.
Just shut up and eat your goddamn dinners.
You won't talk about it in therapy, but you'll discuss it behind my back with that bitch.
Hey, she's my mother. She's a fucking bitch, Lloyd.
You are not supposed to take
stuff. No. Thank you so much, Gus. Finally, somebody else sees.
To be blind not to see.
All right. Let's just get in there and change the subject.
Oh, fine. Why didn't we just change the subject before I was humiliated? That's it, Lloyd. We are getting a divorce. This is finished.
She leaves. Lloyd pauses, corkscrew in hand. Gus gestures for him to follow Caroline back into the dining room. Outside a house.
Now get the hell home, George, before we call your wife.
Honestly, George, what an example.
Cena was mean to me.
I'm serious, George.
Yeah?
He sways.
Maybe Santa won't come back next year. Maybe him and the Easter Bunny will take a fucking cruise to Jamaica and you can eat your own lousy cookie.
George, still dressed as Santa, throws down his bag of presents and relieves himself on a bush.
Oh, who the hell knows, huh?
He leans into the bush.
Wow!
I was pregnant with Jesse then. We lived in the most wonderful one-bedroom apartment.
At the table.
You see, Lloyd never took any money from his family then. I found that so attractive.
Then what happened?
Don't encourage her, Mary. No one wants to listen to her misery.
Lloyd was working as an assistant banquet manager at the Sheraton.
She clutches her wine glass.
We'd make love in the mornings because he was, you know...
Caroline, why don't you eat something?
Lloyd, why don't you eat me?
Kids, go into the den.
This is not a conversation for children.
It's not a conversation for adults either.
Died. Where are you going?
And the living room.
She
to leave you to your quilting.
Bribe Lloyd to move back.
I'll be there to open presents. If my plans change,
you
I'll
see, I hate Connecticut. I grew up in Connecticut.
Well, why don't we all go into the living room and then we can have our coffee and dessert in there.
You phony bastard.
Caroline, shut up.
Let's all go to the bathroom.
Sit.
Excuse me, but I am not one of your patients.
You're going to be somebody's patient if you don't get your ass back down into that chair.
Wow.
Ow. I swear to God, you hit that kid one more time, and I'm going to stick that pig's head right up your ass.
Gary, are you going to let him talk to me like that?
Well, hon, he is a doctor.
Gary points.
Now, Caroline, Lloyd, and I will go into the kitchen and get the coffee and dessert, and then we're going to open the presents.
We can't open presents until midnight.
Why not?
Because it's not Christmas until midnight.
But guess what? We're changing the rules a little bit, okay? We're going to open the presents now, not later. Now. Why? Because we're adults, and we can open the presents whenever we want!
Gus leans towards Connie.
Let's go.
Lloyd stands. Gus pulls Caroline towards the kitchen.
Ooh. Why isn't my portrait over the fireplace?
Gary and Connie stare.
Have some coffee.
Go to hell, mama's boy.
Caroline, get a grip.
Or what? What are you going to do, shoot me? You think death scares me? You forget, buddy. I've been married to him for 15 years.
You forget I have your son upstairs.
Lloyd hands Caroline a cup of coffee. They both still wear candles on their heads.
God.
Gary hangs up the painting of his and Lloyd's mom.
Here we go.
Mary?
How's that, Mom? Good?
John, this is to you from me and Dad.
Mary and John open presents.
What's that, Aunt Caroline?
It's an orange marzipan cake with creme de menthe and lime zest.
Ugh, sounds too sweet.
Then don't eat it.
She drops it on a table and cream spatters on Gary.
Coffee?
Is it real coffee or some Scandinavian Christmas potion?
Lloyd shrugs.
How about some music?
How about some Nat King Cole?
Oh, Gary loves Nat King Cole.
Gee, you know each other so well.
Okay, Nat King Cole it is.
Connie sits next to Gary, who wipes cream from his jacket.
Oh, Gary, this is for you.
Oh, thank you.
Connie hands him a tiny present, and he sets it aside.
Oh, this is for Jesse.
A big present.
We'll just put that in a pile right over here.
Lloyd's mom grins.
Do you like it, Mary?
A large poodle sweater.
Yeah, it's, real neat.
Slipper socks. Oh, I have wanted these for so long. Thank you, Mother Rose. Kids, look what Mom got. You know, with all her money, what does she think? She's gonna take it with her?
I think that's a plan.
Oh, Caroline, this is for you from Lloyd.
A pink box. Lloyd looks to Caroline, who stands in the doorway.
Lloyd?
He gazes downwards.
Should I stop handing out the presents? Maybe some of us are not in the mood.
Gus looks to Caroline.
Caroline?
She looks away.
You see, Dr. Wong, you can use any treatment you like, and it won't do a bit of good. The simple truth is that she's a nasty, selfish woman who thinks only of herself. She has ruined my son's life. I can attest to that. He has endured such heartache.
Lady, why don't you just sleep with him? Let us all off the hook.
Caroline, what are you doing? What's the point? You've made your decision.
What decision?
Caroline saunters to the doorway and holds her head.
Caroline's leaving me.
She faces him.
We're getting a divorce.
Mary and John exchange a look. A smile creeps up Rose's face.
Why?
Gary is wide-eyed. The room is at a standstill. Jesse rocks back and forth, still bound in the closet. Connie hands Gary a present.
Gary, this is to you from me.
Thank you, Bunny.
Oh, thanks, Mother Rose.
I bought you the husky size, John. You mustn't let your weight become a problem.
He does not have a weight problem.
Oh, isn't that nice?
A wallet.
Thank you, Connie and Gary and Mary and John.
Mom, this is our gift. It's to put in the bag. It's another payment on the loan.
Oh, thank you, Lloyd. Of course, we'll have to see what happens with interest rates in the new year.
Cocksucker.
Rose pauses, check in midair.
What did she say?
She said cocksucker.
You've been sucking us dry for years on this loan.
Hey, Caroline.
No, I have something to say. You got a problem with that?
She rises.
Oh. Don't you think it's gone on long enough?
You both borrowed money to open that ridiculous restaurant, which I told you both would never work.
Well, it might have worked if you could have taken your tentacles off of him.
Caroline, stop it.
If you remember, Caroline, my husband had just died. I was all alone, and I had to have surgery.
Plastic surgery.
It was necessary.
It was nothing more than needing to keep your son's attention on you.
manipulating him to open that store
you were
to pay you back the money.
Destitute. I gave him a real job. I let you use my home out of the goodness of my heart.
You're charging us rent, Rose. What kind of therapy is this?
Come on now, this is getting a little ugly here.
Yeah, we walk around on tiptoes, you know, because Mother might get upset or Mother might get angry. And why, let's be honest, she has money. And she holds it over all of us like a death sentence.
I'm happy to give my children everything.
That's the problem. One son who can't say boo to his wife, and the other one, he just gives up. One bad review in one lousy magazine, you just give up.
Now, just a minute. Stop right there.
Lloyd walks to Caroline. Gus smokes.
In the first place, it wasn't one bad review in one lousy magazine. It was the Restaurant Guidebook of New York.
God.
And when the Restaurant Guidebook recommends you to Hindus looking for a fun night out of fasting, what did you expect me to do? Change the menu? You close the restaurant.
No! You close the restaurant. Other people try again. But you see, everything always came so damn easy for you. But the first time that you tried something that was really important to you, to us, and it didn't work out, what did you do? You ran home to Mom. And then you build this wall around yourself, shutting me out, shutting Jesse out with your cynicism and your derision. And you call that being responsible. Well, I can't live like this. I don't care if I wind up a truck stop waitress with platinum hair and pineapple earrings. At least I'd be alive. Be better than living with a corpse.
Caroline turns away and leans on a shelf, breathing deeply. Gus looks between her and Lloyd, who stands with his hands in his pockets and nods.
Before you get on with your career in the service industry, let's set the record straight.
She turns, eyes red.
Because I don't want you leaving with any misunderstandings.
He nods.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I was afraid. Maybe I can't...
He purses his lips.
Take failure. That's probably true. And maybe it's because the decision was all up to me. It was always all up to me. You were so afraid of being wrong, you never made a choice. At least you made it look that way.
What does that mean?
If you recall, my first response to my mother's offer to live here was absolutely not.
Lie?
Absolutely not. You think about it. We were sitting in our bedroom on 78th Street. We were smoking a joint and listening to Al Green, and I said absolutely not.
I'm sorry, but I have had enough. I have never heard of such a Christmas. Sex and drugs and women being set on fire. I'm taking
Connie,
my children upstairs with me now.
Sit down and shut up, okay? Sit down and shut up.
Come on, kids. We're going upstairs. Gary?
I think this is more important.
Well, I think this is sick.
Connie, honey, right now, nobody really cares what
Gary,
you think.
Gary, you have not defended me once this entire evening.
How can you talk to me like that? You have the entire evening.
Sit down and give these people a little bit to work on.
Excuse me! Lloyd smacks the Christmas tree with a fire poker. Connie and the kids cower.
If you don't mind, the corpse still has the floor. I told you what moving here could mean, but you were the one who said we should consider it. Not the actual moving, just the considering. The actual moving in part was left to me. Why? Because you didn't know what to do. You were confused. You didn't know what was the right thing, but you were sure as hell sick and tired of living in a one-bedroom apartment in New York City. So don't hand me that it was the best of times bullshit. You didn't want to work anymore, and you didn't want any help with the baby because you wanted to do it all by yourself. And you hated New York because we weren't as rich as your college friends were to enjoy it. We couldn't afford a bigger place, and you were miserable being around people who could. And we were up to our ears in debt. But moving here was my decision. Right. And the loan was the same situation.
What difference does any of this make now? You're getting a divorce.
Mother.
What?
He puts his hands on his hips.
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Lloyd, don't talk to me like that in my own house.
He looks to Caroline, who smirks through her tears. Gus begins to smile, and Lloyd bends to Rose.
You know what, Mom?
You know what I'm going to get you next Christmas? A big wooden cross. So every time you feel unappreciated for all your sacrifices, you can climb on up and nail yourself to it.
John and Mary laugh.
Gary, get my bags.
She stands.
I'm leaving.
Oh, go get him yourself. He's not your errand boy.
Has everyone gone nuts? Who the hell do you think you are?
Slipper socks. Medium.
Connie puffs out her chest and Gary folds his arms. Gus's jaw drops and Rose marches out.
Hey.
Rose walks upstairs and Gus runs to the door. Siskel is outside.
The army? What the fuck? I'm one of my Oswald here? Hey!
He runs up the stairs after Rose and the family appears.
Come on, Richard.
He grabs her, and she elbows him in the side. He holds a gun to her head, and they slide down the stairs.
Okay.
Is this part of the therapy?
Now, I want everybody into the tent, or I'm going to shoot her.
Go ahead, shoot her.
Get in the tent.
She struggles with him. Upstairs, Jesse, now free, picks the closet lock with a clothes hanger. It pops open. The door eases open. Jesse pokes his head out, then creeps into the hallway.
Hi.
Mr. and Mrs. Chester, I'm sorry to disturb you during the holidays. I'm Lieutenant Siskel from the Academy.
Is there some trouble?
Yes, and I couldn't in good conscience let it wait any longer.
Does it involve Jesse?
It does. Jesse is a very clever and enterprising young businessman. He currently has several photographs of me.
John tapes Connie's mouth.
Mm. Hey, kid. That's enough.
You sure this will hold?
Yes, absolutely.
Gus points his gun while Mary binds Rose.
I knew you weren't a doctor. I knew it. You'll never get away, you know. You'll either be captured or killed. One less worthless man around, one less burden to society.
Fucking believable.
I've survived worse than you. World wars, old age, marriage, and weak men like you. Men who don't have the guts to survive in the real world. Men who are just scared little boys intimidating everyone with their aggressiveness because they're afraid the world will find out how small their penises are.
Lloyd and Caroline enter.
You know, lady, I'd like to tie you to the back of a fucking truck.
You don't have the balls.
Lloyd restrains Gus.
No, no. This one I gotta...
Don't. It's not worth it.
What? I fucking hate her, Lloyd.
I know. I know. Mary, gag your grandma.
Mary puts thick red ribbon over Rose's mouth.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I thought moms are supposed to be nice and sweet and patient. I know loan sharks that are more forgiving than you. Your husband ain't dead, lady. He's hiding.
They look up.
Let's go.
Gus leaves Gary, Connie, and Rose tied up and hops up the stairs, gun drawn. Lloyd and Caroline follow as he walks through the open closet door.
Shit.
He strides towards Jesse's room and shoves the door open. Lloyd and Caroline file in and Gus's jaw drops. Jesse sits over his briefcase.
Wow.
Oh, honey. Is Siskel still here?
No.
He takes stacks of cash from the floor.
What are you going to do, Dad? Turn me in?
May I ask you just one question?
Jesse stops and looks up.
Is there something that we don't give you? What do you need all that money for? Drugs?
No.
What, more video games?
No, stop it! That's it. Gus, I'm going with you.
What?
I'll give you a cut in the money. We can make it to the docks on foot. We can take a shortcut through the woods.
Whoa. Slow down.
Come on, you got to take me with you. I have no other option. I can't stay here.
What am I, the fucking circus? Take you with me?
But come on!
No, forget it. Forget it. Just forget it, okay? Don't start running, kid. Once you start, you never stop. Believe me.
Gus focuses on Jesse, whose lips quiver, then defers to Caroline.
Fine. Be that way. Just go by myself, then. Oh, please, Jesse, look. Give us another... Oh, Jesse. We screwed up, not you.
Caroline touches his arm.
Shit. What is that?
Gus and Lloyd exit to the hall.
Look, I promise you, we'll take care of this. We'll fix everything. No matter what happens between me and your father, you don't have to...
Splitting up?
That's not your problem, honey.
Hey, I'm in this family too, you know. Every time you guys yell and scream at each other, it is my problem, Mom.
Caroline, let's go.
One second. Okay. A lot's happened between me and Lloyd. We've made a lot of mistakes. You got caught in the middle.
Her eyes tear and Jesse swallows.
They hate each other?
He purses his lips and she shakes her head.
No. Then you're staying together.
Caroline, come on, let's go.
Oh, just wait. Please. I don't know. I don't know what your father wants. What do you want?
Caroline, come on.
She turns back to Jesse, tearful.
We'll talk about this later, okay? Just stay here, please. We'll be back soon.
What about Siskel?
She pauses.
We'll fix it, honey. We'll give him the money, the photos, anything. Just stay right there.
Caroline and Lloyd run downstairs, Gus behind them with his gun drawn.
Hey!
George stands in the living room.
You know something?
They freeze.
What, Caroline?
Gus hides his gun.
Every year we give you a fruitcake for Christmas and you don't give us a goddamn thing. My wife thinks it's because you...
He looks up.
Hey, you had a gun, didn't you? Yes, you did. You did. You had a gun. I saw it. Hey, you're the guy. You're the guy, aren't you?
Okay, pal. Just... Huh?
What, you pulling a gun on me? I'm not afraid of you.
Just calm down, all right?
You think you can take me? I'm Santa Claus.
He takes off his Santa hat and charges. Gus punches him and he goes down.
Great. I just beat up Santa Claus.
Jesse runs down the stairs.
Guys, the cops are here. What are we gonna do?
Central, cruiser 252, Pinellas speaking. I'm at the Chaza house. Over.
Lloyd watches through the window.
We gotta get you out of here.
I know, but I can't just leave. I don't know where I'm going.
So... Well, just keep pretending like you're Dr. Wong, then you don't
There's
have to
five
go.
Five people tied up in a back room. Come on.
Okay, fine, then we can hide you. We can hide you anywhere.
Search
I know this place like the back of my hand.
They come in and they search until they find what they're looking for. It's a bad idea.
No, it's a good idea. It's the mud room.
Yes, the mud room.
The trap door in the mud room. We'll put you in there. It'd be perfect.
No.
It's a very good idea.
The beamer's a good place.
No, it's the first place. Oh, I know, the hope chest. We'll put you in the hope chest.
Take me in the cast.
I forget about
the key. No,
throw away the key.
What about the basement? Is there a tunnel or a hole?
Path through the woods.
All eyes on Lloyd.
Jesse, quick, take Gus to the path through the woods. You said you know a shortcut to the docks, right? You're the only one that can take him.
Caroline's mouth drops open. Jesse and Gus exchange a look.
Well, what do you want us to do, turn him in?
Jesse smiles.
I can't spend my whole life sending everybody I care about to prison.
He looks to Gus.
Go on.
Okay, Dad. Come on, Gus, let's get out of here.
And be careful.
Gus gazes at Lloyd.
All right, go. We'll stall it.
Oh.
They turn.
You're son of a...
George is passed out in his Santa suit. They look to each other. Cops walk to the door.
How many more into this?
16.
Not bad. 419, we're over. See Harry Potter, over.
419, dispatch.
Yeah, we're starting the episode right now.
State police!
They wait.
There's got to be someone home with all of these lights in that car in the driveway.
They peer inside.
Oh, jeez. We got a live one. I need some people to surround this house right now. Eddie, get your men in here.
They barge in. Caroline and Lloyd sit tied up at the base of the stairs. A cop removes socks from their mouths.
No, my God, thank God you're here. You've got
no
to hurry. He left
nightmare.
An hour ago. He's got a head start. He went to an airport in Hartford.
Entire night.
Would
I mean,
you
we
shut up?
Here.
I'm trying to give them important information. He went to an airport in Hartford. He
I
left
suppose,
on the back door.
You're the only one who's been tied up all night.
I mean,
what is
I'm
this?
I'm trying to tell them
where to Are there any other hostages in the house?
They meet each other's gazes.
No.
Oh, kid.
Jesus. There's no better route than this with less snow?
No, this is it. This is the best route.
This is the best route?
We'll be there in no time. Come on.
Well, I might need a wheelchair. I'm telling you, kid.
I distinctly heard him say that he was headed to a small airport in Hartford, and from there, he was taking a private plane to Vancouver.
No, it wasn't Vancouver.
We're working on it.
Hey, he was on the phone, and he said Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia? There is no Yugoslavia anymore.
He said Yugoslavia.
Right mind
He's not in his right mind.
All right!
They turn to the police officers.
Sorry. Would you like us to come downtown and give our statements?
No!
Well, we'd be willing to do that.
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
Well, if
you
sure.
No, no, please. No, no, really.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The cops back away. Gus follows Jesse through snowy woods, wearing George's Santa costume. They reach the road, and a cop car passes.
Doc's down the street on your left.
George! The curfew! Go home! Get off the streets! Home, George, home!
Their jaws drop.
Guess I had to be getting home now.
Good idea.
Jesse turns.
You know, I think things are gonna be different with Dad. If they're not, I'll blackmail him. See you, Gus.
Take it easy.
He watches him go.
Christ. I'm never having kids.
Gus throws the Santa bag over his shoulder and runs.
So do you think we should go untie everybody?
No. We should unwrap them in the morning. It'll be more festive.
Lloyd and Caroline sit together on the stairs, sharing a drink. Caroline sits up and folds her arms. She sighs.
So what about Jesse?
Well, Cisco said if we give him back the pictures, he won't press charges.
No, no, I mean about us. What do we tell him about us?
She looks over her shoulder at Lloyd, who sets down the drink. He leans towards her, caresses her arm, and studies her face.
Okay.
He leans in to kiss her.
Sorry, but Grandma's eating through her gag.
John stands over them.
You know something? You are a piece of work, pal. I tell you to get a boat, this is what you get. Get out of the fucking way.
Gussie?
What?
When are we gonna open presents?
Presents? Is that what you said? Presents? I'll tell you what, as soon as we get back, we're gonna open the presents. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, I'll save you the trouble. Your present is a giant fucking cannon, okay? And when we get back, you're gonna crawl into it, okay? I'm gonna put 2 pounds of gunpowder in there, I'm gonna light it up, and I'm gonna shoot you right out of fucking Jersey, okay? And then I'm gonna steal a car and drive to Jersey and pick up all the little fucking pieces of your body, put them in a big plastic bag, bring them back to my house, put them in the fireplace, light them on fire, I'm gonna sit down with a glass of whiskey and watch the Charlie Brown special with your ashes heating my fucking house! Oh!
The boat pulls away.
Yes?
What?
What's that smell?
Shut up.
Fade to black. Credits roll.
Against my will, believe it or not, I know my own mind. Ooh, oh God knows why. Thank you.
goes a circle. Can we get up off of the ground? Why can't we get our lives together? And how can we start to make it better?
The American Humane Association monitored animal action with on-set supervision by Toronto Humane Society. Scenes depicting violence to animals were simulated. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. Copyright 1994, Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Inc. All rights reserved. This motion picture was created by the Old Saybrook Company, Inc. for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Inc. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Disney. Voice by William Michael Redman.